Alma Barron is a 19-year-old nulla gravida who came to the emergency room 2 days ago complaining of severe lower abdominal pain. The pain had been present, but milder, for about a week before she came in. It was gradual in onset, but progressive. In the emergency room, she rated the pain as about a 10 out of 10 in intensity. In the 2 days prior to presenting, she began to feel nauseated and has vomited twice. She also developed a fever to 102 degrees and some shaking chills. She has no appetite. Her last menstrual period was 2 weeks ago and was normal. She is sexually active and personally monogamous. She uses condoms for contraception a lot of the time. She has noted an annoying vaginal discharge since her last period. During her exam, she was found curled up on the gurney, resting on her side with both her knees drawn up. When asked to roll onto her back for an exam, she moved very slowly. Jostling the gurney caused significant pain. When asked to point to the one part of her abdomen that hurt the most, she drew a line with her finger across the suprapubic area. Her bowel sounds were quiet. Her upper abdomen was mostly soft and non-tender, but deeper palpation in the upper quadrants caused pain in the lower quadrants. She had significant rebound tenderness to both lower quadrants. During her pelvic exam, she had a mucopurulent yellowish discharge coming from the cervical os, which we sent for gonorrhea and chlamydia PCR in Gram stain. She could barely tolerate the bimanual exam. Just touching the cervix caused excruciating pain, as did any motion of the cervix or any deep palpation into the adnexa, although we didn't feel any mass. Her temperature was 101.6, her pulse was 110, blood pressure 106 over 72, respiratory rate was 20, her oxygen saturation was 99% on room air. We sent blood tests for a CBC, a sedimentation rate, a serologic test for syphilis and RPR, a hepatitis B surface antigen, and a hepatitis C serology. We sent urine for a urine analysis and a pregnancy test. Then we ordered imaging studies on her, including a pelvic ultrasound scan and a CT scan of the abdomen without contrast. This patient has severe pelvic inflammatory disease with an insidious onset but very dramatic physical findings. The pain of PID is almost always bilateral and focused in the fallopian tubes and uterus. The inflammation is so intense that only minimal cervical motion causes severe pain in the patient. The patient also has a purulent cervical discharge. This is frequently seen but not universal. The Gram stain of this discharge showed intracellular gram-negative diplococci, which is quite specific for gonorrhea. Unfortunately, this test is not very sensitive and misses both those cases of PID that do not involve gonorrhea and also some cases that do involve gonorrhea. The presence of significant fever means that this is a case of severe PID rather than mild. The distinction has an impact both on treatment and prognosis. Mild PID can be effectively treated on an ambulatory basis. Following appropriate medication, she can go home and her symptoms will usually resolve promptly. In contrast, severe PID often requires intravenous antibiotics for an extended length of time. The recovery from severe PID is measured in weeks, not days. Presence of nausea and vomiting is common among PID patients, as is the depressed appetite. Her white count was 22,000, and this degree of leukocytosis is again a common but nonspecific finding. Her ESR was markedly elevated, another common but nonspecific finding. The primary value of the ESR is that measured serially, it can enable you to follow the effectiveness of her treatment and recovery. It's very important to obtain a pregnancy test in all cases of acute pelvic pain in this age group. Pregnancy might be the cause of the pain, but its presence can certainly influence the treatment of the pelvic pain. The purpose of the ultrasound imaging is twofold. Some of these patients will have tubo ovarian abscesses, and their presence modifies the prognosis and may modify the treatment. With milder cases of PID, I probably wouldn't have ordered the CT scan of the abdomen and pelvis, because the diagnosis would be unambiguous. But in her case, because of the severity of the symptoms and the overlap these symptoms have with such other conditions as appendicitis, bowel disease, and other inflammatory conditions within the abdomen, I thought it prudent to rule out these other clinical problems. The cause of PID is some sexually transmitted infection, and often the infecting organisms are multiple. With the first infection, there may be only a single organism, but because of the STD relationship, the patient should be screened for other STDs as well. In her case, even though she personally was monogamous, it would seem that either her partner was not monogamous or that the patient's memory was incomplete. Condoms are excellent protection against many STDs and would probably have protected her had they been consistently used. For treatment, we had a number of alternatives, but we selected suffoxetin, 2 grams intravenously every 6 hours, plus doxycycline, 100 milligrams orally twice a day. We could have given the doxycycline by intravenous route, but it's very irritating to veins. While we kept her generally NPO to begin with, we thought she could tolerate the doxy with a couple sips of water. I would recommend that you follow the CDC treatment guidelines whenever feasible. They were carefully thought through by some very knowledgeable people and designed to cover the most common presentations. If there's something very unusual about the patient, then of course you need to use your best judgment, and there have been a few times, although not many, that I've deviated from the CDC recommendations, but in general I follow their guidance. Remember that PID is a clinical diagnosis, not a laboratory diagnosis or surgical diagnosis. It's based on the presence of significant pelvic pain accompanied by cervical motion tenderness. The diagnosis is further supported in the presence of fever, STDs, mucoperial and vaginal discharge, and an elevated sedimentation rate. It's not necessary to perform laparoscopy to confirm the diagnosis in most cases, and laparoscopy will fail to detect milder cases. Laparoscopy may be very useful if there is serious concern about the presence of appendicitis as opposed to PID. Today, after 48 hours of antibiotics, she's feeling lots better, although her temperature is still not back to normal and she still is having some abdominal pain. Her cultures confirm the presence of Neisseria gonorrhea and also chlamydia. Her appetite is returning and we're starting her on clear liquids. She's quite angry with her ex-partner but has advised him of the need to seek treatment. In the event he fails to promptly seek medical treatment, the county health department will engage.